It's time for Rhema for Today.
You see, it's the heart of the human seeking after the supernatural. And if the church had had the supernatural in manifestation in her midst, folks wouldn't have gone off after these other things. You see, the answer to the supernatural craving of man for the supernatural is found in the new birth and in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and in the name of Jesus. And then prayer becomes a supernatural working force in the world.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. We went into Rhema's archives and chose Kenneth E. Hagin's teaching, The Supernatural. This will be a great month of teaching. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagin with today's message.
I've seen the life of God, the supernatural power of God, come into a prostitute and change her unto a worthwhile citizen and a beautiful mother and a beautiful companion and a beautiful example of Christian life and Christian living. Oh, thank God, this is a supernatural life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Every answer to prayer is supernatural. Every victory over temptation is supernatural. But brother, sister, when reason takes the place of the supernatural, Christianity loses its virility. Christianity loses its fascination. Christianity loses its fruitfulness. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is the life of God in man. Jesus said, "The thief is come, but for to kill and steal and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Praise God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Blessed be God. Blessed be God. Man, even natural man, today craves a supernatural work in God. Whenever there arises a man or a woman whose prayers are heard and answered, the multitudes flock to him. Brother Hicks talked about Ms. McPherson. That was so concerning her. You see, man wants a living God. Man craves the supernatural. The deep-seated hunger in the human heart for God is the reason for all religions. Men are easily deceived sometimes by the pseudo-supernatural because of that hunger within them after the supernatural. One of America's greatest psychologists, who ridiculed the supernatural for over 30 years in his classroom at one of the leading universities, finally sat at the feet of the high priestess of spiritualism and confessed over his own signature in a popular magazine that at last he had found faith in the supernatural. What a pitiful picture. Turning from the supernatural working Jesus to the supernatural working Satan. My friends, the church is to blame for the rise of spiritualism. Are you listening to me? Yes, there are more born again, spirit-filled Christians in America today than ever before. Yet right on the other hand, there are more people falling after other religions. There are more people falling after the cults, the false, the spirits. You see, it's the heart of the human seeking after the supernatural. And if the church had had the supernatural in manifestation in her midst, folks wouldn't have gone off after these other things. You see, the answer to the supernatural craving of man for the supernatural is found in the new birth and in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and in the name of Jesus. And then prayer becomes a supernatural working force in the world. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Nobody's going to follow a dead church. You know this as well as I do, that the supernatural is not out of harmony with the desire of humanity. You know this as well as I do, that a worker of the supernatural, or as they prayed for the wonders and signs, a wonder worker, a miracle worker, a supernatural worker, will draw a greater congregation than the greatest philosopher or statement in the world. The love of the supernatural is not a mark of ignorance, but rather an outreaching after the unseen God. Education does not eliminate the desire for the supernatural in man. That desire is intensified as education unveils man's impotence in the presence of the laws of nature and shows him his utter dependence upon the unseen. It's not a mark of great scholarship. It's not a mark of great piety to deny the supernatural. Brother, sister, it's just simply an act that's normal to man. Man craves, man desires the supernatural. And thank God, our God is a supernatural God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You know, every revival, we talked about Pentecost, but every revival since the day of Pentecost that has honored that humble Galilean, the Lord Jesus Christ, has been a revival of the supernatural. The church has never been rescued from her backslidings by great philosophical teachers, but humble laymen who have had a new vision of Christ. A new vision of Him who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. We crave the manifest presence of the Spirit of God in our religious services. A dry, dead meeting has no drawing power. A service where men are being richly blessed in the unfolding of the Scriptures, or in the saving of the lost, in the healing of the sick, or people being baptized with the Holy Ghost, has a drawing power. Hallelujah. Another scripture that we looked at in our prayers these two previous weeks was James 5:7. You could turn and read it if you wanted to. This has to do with the coming of the Lord Jesus again. It has to do with why He hasn't come. What's He waiting on? Why doesn't He come? Notice what James said. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. He's waiting for a harvest. I said he's waiting for a harvest. He waited for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it. Now notice, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Well, of course, literally speaking in Israel, there was early rain when they planted the crops, the latter rain when they matured the crops. But as we read Joel's prophecy, praise God, there's also a spiritual fulfillment of it. And Peter, on the day of Pentecost, said, "This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Thus saith the Lord, in the last days, I'll pour out of my spirit." So it's a latter rain upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams, and so on and so forth. And so then he said again, "Ask ye of the Lord rain. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord will make bright clouds and send them showers of rain." That's talking about the Holy Ghost. "Send them showers of rain to everyone, grass in his field." Not talking about grass in your yard and grass out there literally in your field. He's talking about a spiritual something. You see, an outpouring of the Spirit is a challenge to a community at any time, praise God. Now notice what he said. "Ask ye of the Lord rain." Told us to ask for it. "So the Lord will make bright clouds." Oh, I'd read and quoted that scripture for years and preached from it. But I don't know why I didn't look. I just noticed that in my Bible, King James Translation, Cambridge Bible, that there's a little number there by the word bright. And I looked over in the margin and it said, the Hebrew said he'll send lightning. Well, lightning go along with rain. He'll send lightnings. Instead of bright clouds, he'll send lightnings. Woo! Praise God. And then I got to think about it. That's what the early church is praying for. Glory to God. And you just read a little. There's in the fourth chapter of Acts. You see, they prayed for it. And you get over in the ninth chapter of Acts. And there's old Saul of Tarsus. He breathing out threatenings against the saints. Consenting unto the death of Stephen. Breathing out threatenings against saints. Letters in his possession. Giving him the authority and the power and so on. And to put in jail and in chains them that are in that way. And he approached the city of Damascus. And suddenly, bless God, God sent lightning. Hallelujah. A bright light. Hallelujah. Shine down around about it, brighter than the noonday sun.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, Craig Hagin, and Denise Hagin Burns by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's radio offer. First, we're offering Pastor Kenneth Hagin's 3-CD set, Ages, Stages, and Generations. Next is Reverend Lynette Hagin's CD entitled, What Should We Be Focusing On? Next in our offer is Pastor Craig Hagin's book entitled, Don't Be Stupid. Also, Pastor Denise Hagin Burns' CD, Anchor Moments. All these items for the special price of only $35, a $9.95 savings. To order, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. That's 1-888-324-8499. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
Well, we're one month away from camp.
Oh, no, don't say it.
1 month away.
1 month away from one of the biggest meetings we have,
right.
One of the best
awesome
meetings we have.
Yes.
It's called Camp Meeting. July the 20th through the 25th, right here on the Rhema campus. It starts at our Sunday night service at 6
yes
p.m. on
That's
Sunday
right
night. That's when we normally have Sunday night. But
mm-hmm
then Monday through Friday, there's three services a day, 10 a.m., 2:30 p.m., and 7:30 p.m. And that's right here. And you can go to rhema.org/CM and find out all
that's
about
right
everything that's happening. There's stuff for the children. There's stuff for
the
youth.
Yes.
There's stuff for the whole family.
That's right.
So go check it out and make plans to be here. If you've never been to a camp meeting here at Rhema, you haven't been to a camp meeting.
That's right.
Monday, Kenneth E. Hagin will continue this powerful teaching. That's Monday on Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. Have a great weekend.